Boulder Town Planning Commission meeting, June 11th, 2020, to order, and we have our commissioners, all of our commissioners. Peg, do you want me to say your name?
Yes, please.
Okay, so it would be Corey Thompson, Matt Thomas, Josie Mew, Cookie Shout, Steely Albertson, and we also have Marion as our... Sorry. What's your name?
Alternate.
Thank you. Okay, so we'll start with old business, and I need to have, does anyone have any thing that, I didn't mean old business, okay, so we're gonna start with old business, so I'm going to call to make a motion to approve the minutes.
I did have two corrections submitted by Josie, which I made, so they're on the website right now.
Okay.
Minor corrections.
And no one else had any, so can I have a motion to pass? Okay, thank you, Matt. All in favor?
Amy Appleton.
Working in line. Amy Thompson.
Okay, now.
Is that everybody, Peg?
I think so.
So our new business will be to approve the agenda. So I'm sure everyone's looked at the agenda, so I can have a motion to approve the agenda.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second it.
Okay, I've got Cookies moved and Matt seconded, okay?
All aye. Corey Thompson.
Amy Appleton, aye.
Matt Thompson, aye.
Cookie Shout, aye.
Okay, so we'll go on to, so the next item on the agenda is, the next item on the agenda is the public comments. We always have initial public comments. If the comments have to do with our public hearing, please keep those comments for the public hearing. If there are initial comments that, by the public that want to be heard, we'll be able to listen to those, but if it's for the public hearing, we'll need to move on so that we can have those comments during the public hearing. So I will open it up for initial public comments.
I have one.
Okay.
My public comment is, for the rest of the meeting, before anybody makes any statement, can you please identify your name so it's on the recording? Okay? That's public or planning commissioners, okay? Just so your name is clearly there when you're making a comment. That's all.
So I don't see that we have any other comments. So I'm going to go ahead and we need to close the regular meeting and open the public hearing. Can I have a motion to do that?
Make a motion to close the regular meeting and open up a public hearing.
Thank you, Matt. All in favor?
Actually,
we need a second.
I can second that.
Thank you.
Now.
Aye.
A vote?
Haley Appleton, aye.
Haley Appleton, aye. Amy Thompson, aye.
So, Dan, aye.
Okay.
Okay, so the public hearing for the Art and Cultural Building, CUP, it's the first item, it's not the first item on the agenda, well it is. So we'll begin with a staff report from the zoning administrator, which is Curtis, so that we can be familiarized with the application, so that hopefully can hear the application again. And then we're going to hear the actions that we'll be asking for in the conditional use permit. So, Curtis?
Can everyone hear me?
Yes.
Okay, thanks, Amy. Okay, I'm going to go to screen sharing and call up the documents. So, okay, the application, the application is for a record, the Planning Commission members know this, they received it, but a lot of members of the public dialing in may not, so I'll try to be brief, but I'll try to cover it so that when they make their public comments, they got the information they need about what the application represents. And I'll also go into the staff report, which gives findings and conditions, recommended conditions. So under the table of uses, it's for a recreational facility and a school. The zoning ordinance, a recreational facility is allowed in the GMU zone. This property is in the GMU zone, so it's allowed in the applicant's zone. The recreational facility, as you can see on the screen, is defined in the table of uses and the definitions as a place, either indoor or outdoor, designed and equipped for the conduct of sports and leisure time activities. The application says that the arts, in all its forms, are a form of leisure time activities. They have also applied under the definition of a school, because as it will become apparent as they present their application, there's a large educational component to this under both the arts and under the sustainable agricultural elements of the application. And that has to do with conservation easement on the ranch and some of the agencies' desire to have a place where they can come over and have a venue involved. There are three major elements to the application. There's the structure, the parking lot, and the uses under which it's eligible. We just went through some of the uses. So let's familiarize everybody that doesn't know with the property and how it lays out. So this is an aerial view. Starting at the top, this is the historic barn. Under the terms of the conservation easement, this has to be preserved. It can't be torn down. It has to be preserved in the condition it was when it was placed, and any changes to the barn would have to be approved. So basically, the historic barn is a preservation, a historic preservation situation. The area between the barn and this residence, what's now a residence, a modular residence, has been used for corrals and other, it's not really been in production. It's been either residential or for corrals, holding dams, etc. So the applicant states that no ag land, productive ag land, is being taken out of production to accommodate a parking area, which runs from the south end of the barn here, if you can see my cursor, to the north end of the proposed center. The center is just unit will be demolished, this one will be demolished and replaced by the second. The neighbors are, this neighbor here, this the Blake inholding, and just to give you some perspective, this is approximately 1,000 feet from the Blake, the front of the Blake house to the front of the proposed art center. So that kind of puts things in perspective, the distances we're dealing with here. This is another inholding, Gloria Holiday, and this is another inholding, Stacy Davis. And that acquaints you with the general layout of what we're talking about here. The structure itself mirrors the barn. The barn has these kind of elements where it comes down and it sheds over. So the architects, these are very straightforward drawings. These are not intended to be final architectural drawings or engineering by any means. But this is enough under Section 803 of the ordinance for a conditional use permit. You can see that there is a basement in the drawing right now, and whether that's going to be unfinished or finished, they've got to go through all the budgetary processes and so forth. The footprint of the building, this is the north end, this is the parking lot, the historic pond is off to the left here, and Highway 12 is some 100 feet approximately off to the right. You add up the square footage in this plan, and it's approximately 4,000 square feet. It's there's an auditorium that can take 112 seats and is currently drawn. And then there's a stage, rather large stage area, backstage area. There's a men's room and a woman's room. There's a storage area. And just above this storage area is a a little area where a sound mixer could be. Out in the front here is the lobby and a gallery space. There's a little kitchen, very similar to the kitchen in the community center, that you call it more of a warming kitchen, not a full-on turkey kitchen, but it's meant to duplicate the uses in the community center. The layout of the parking lot is currently scheduled for 50 spaces. That's quite a bit in excess of what our ordinance might require, but this is what UDOT, in conjunction with the building inspector and the architects, they talked to UDOT and the building inspector, and they said, now we need 50 spaces here. So they penciled it, they tentatively put in 50 spaces. I'm not tentatively, that's what they put in, and that's what they're applying for. Section 803 requires, roads and utilities, which are pretty much already in because of the modular unit there. It has water to it, it has power to it, and it has a septic tank, which will have to be remodeled according to code. Then you move down from Section 803, and those planning commission members that have read through this can see that it's more detailed. I can answer any questions later, but I don't think it's necessary to go through everything like the construction phases and so on and so forth. There is one thing that's important, and that's the UDOT permit. The UDOT permit met with Jackie's representative and the engineers over here, and I attended that meeting. And their first question was, what are the uses of the building? And it was stated clearly that the uses of the building on the application would be for a community-based arts and agricultural center for education and recreation, etc. They said that if it was to have any it was to be advertised as a tourist facility in any way, that they would have to do a traffic study, they would have to put a turnout lane, et cetera. And they said, but if that's the application, then that's what the permit will be issued for, it's strictly a community-based center as shown on the application. So that's what the permit is for. Okay, section 606, it goes in, there's plans and materials, and we've shown that, and we've shown the historic barn, the profiles, and that it works in harmony with the red barn, but what it means by working harmony, we don't have a design, we don't have a design palette folder, we don't have architectural standards, so when they say this, just means, well, okay, this is what they're saying, we'll be compatible, but there's no standard for what that means. Signage is not being applied for at this time, that will be done later, because as you know, with a conditional, a sign requires a separate conditional use application, and so what they wanted to get past this hurdle first and find out exactly where they were. In our Boulder ordinances, we have section 606, which is a table of off-street parking with, like I say, they have plenty more spaces than we require, but they have some conditions down here that you have to meet. And so these conditions are basically 1 through 5. And these are important because they define it more, like, the other, they don't have architecture standard, but this one does give more definition in the ordinance, and it tells what the applicant's burden is in order to meet those ordinances. ADA, of course, is required by commercial code, and so handicap access will be important and incorporated into the design. However, entrances, ingress, and egress happens. The location of parking spots, you've got made it clear that the parking spots on Highway 12 now that have been used for the modular unit have to be fenced off. Just to give, there can be no parking on Highway 12. All parking has to be at the parking area. So they pull up on Highway 12, they go to the parking lot, and it has to be confined there. Besides the parking stalls is laid out. That's just a design function. We talked about the UDOT permit and the fact, once again, that it cannot be a broad-based tourist venue. There's no drainage issues that are apparent on the topo map. We're required to do 2-foot topos, and it shows in here that there's no construction projected for any areas over 15%. And of course, any areas over 30% are prohibited. You can't do anything in there. 15 to 30% would require the compliance with our soils ordinance and your soils testing, but they have not submitted anything to be a 15% plus soil. The parking lot. The landscaping is a big deal. This one says you got to have 5% landscaping in the parking lot, and so they have presented a landscape plan that will do that. They've also, we said, any off-street parking area providing parking for more than 10 vehicles that adjoins a residential zoning district or a residential structure shall be screened by a solid visual barrier not less than 4 feet or more than 6 feet. This is really intended for something that would be in a more compact area in one of the residential zones, not the GMU, and it would be something where you're really trying not to, you know, between 4 and 6 feet, you're basically trying to block the sight lines to a parking lot and the cars from the house next door. As you can see, the houses next door are a long distance away, and one of the conditions will require the applicant's engineers and surveyors and whoever to develop, to take a look at this on the conditions and get back to the sidelines. I did just a very, very kind of quick look to see exactly the condition, what it might be faced with, what it might require. The in-holding here, and the flake in-holding is the closest, about 1,000 feet. Well, it's a little closer back to the parking lot, but there's a hill right here. Topographically, there's no visibility from the flake in-holding to the parking lot. You can't see the cars at all. And you only barely see a little bit of the roof of the arch, the center itself. But the car screening the parking lot from the flake in-holding, that's pretty much your own. The Davis in-holding here, this is a hill right here, and then there's a drainage and a gully, and it's heavily, heavily vegetated. But they're going to have to go, I wasn't going to drive down into their place, so I parked about in here and took a photo, and there's what you can see from that drive, and that's the roof of the barn. The parking lot is down in here, hidden. But I'm not going to represent that there will be no sidelines until they do a further study, which is in the conditions that I have proposed. The conditions talks about a maintenance plan for the parking. We talked about the sidelines. Lighting is another always an issue, and to mitigate and to the best possible way that they can, they have said they will use all IDA dark sky compliant lighting, and that no barn lights, yard lights will be allowed, and all lighting will be hooded or shield, as will the lighting on and around the structure. Loading and unloading requires, one space for 25,000 square feet. Not very relevant. Okay, conditions for approval. We've got something that's starting from the ground up. Nothing exists, like on Circle Old Valley or whatever. We're starting from scratch. So, it's reasonable, and this is the traditional way that towns and planning commissions proceed. An owner is entitled to come in and apply for a conditional use permit. There, as we just went through, there are certain minimum standards, certainly not to meet the codes, that they'll, the applicable codes they'll have to meet. They're entitled to apply for this, and they're entitled to be granted, and the town is entitled to place conditions on that, to assure itself that the things like the landscaping, the lighting, we're going to get a more detailed plan. This is a rough plan to show what they're doing. This is a drawing, but I can't flip it up flipping everything, but it shows this is their landscape plan, and that's sufficient under the ordinance for now, as long as we have conditions that they'll come back with and demonstrate later. There's the UDOT permit. Then you go to section 804, the conditions for approval. And usually the big conditions that the planning commission's always been worried about are property management and noise and light trespass. So put that in as conditions. You don't have to submit detailed plans how they're going to do that. And sight line buffer. And also property management. Generally speaking, the Art Council events have been going on for almost a decade now, and by 10 o'clock, often earlier. So that will be part of a management plan that they will submit. So then we go to the staff report and the suggested conditions, which will either meet the sections that we just went through, 803, 804, and 606, or they'd be entitled to impose to mitigate potential nuisance. So these are the findings of fact. The Planning Commission has all seen them, and I don't think that the public, it's posted online if anybody wants to go online and look at it. The ones you'd be interested in are the conclusions and the conditions. So the conclusion of the zoning administrator and the staff, that's myself, Michelle, and Perry, is that we recommend approval based on the application that we just went through with conditions. The conditions are 5, 6 in number. The first conditions deal with the parking lot and landscaping. A maximum of 50 parking stalls. A detailed landscaping plan enumerating plants, location, size, and provisions for irrigation, watering, sources, and a maintenance plan. Compliance with all applicable code provisions for ADA parking access. Detailed architectural and engineering drawings showing all dimensions of the parking area, construction and surfacing details, provisions for drainage, if any, ingress and any egress to the lot, and the ordinance requires a minimum of 2 each widening out onto the ranch road at 22 feet. A lighting plan with IDA dark sky compliant fixtures, shielded, full cutoff are designated to light the parking area and minimize off-site visibility. Compliance with all other building code provisions. I'm going to pause right there and address one thing that was brought up about building code provisions. A question was raised when this was introduced preliminarily about commercial code. Did a little research, and I talked to our planning consultant, Lee Ellis, and he said, what you have is under the IBC, the International Building Code, you have two codes. You have the IRC, International Residential Code, and then you have the Everything Else Code. So when we use the word commercial code, that's what they call it, but it doesn't mean that it has to be a commercial zone or that it's a commercial application. Any more than if you wanted to remodel the firehouse, it would have to meet commercial code, but or build a bridge somewhere or the community center, because they're public use facilities and then basically because they're not residential, they have to meet the everything else code. So they have to apply, comply with all of this. And that's up to their architects and engineers to put all of that together. Second is detailed architectural and engineering drawings of the center with materials list and exterior color. Now, they're going to provide that because it asks for it in the ordinance. But there is nothing in our ordinance that creates an architectural standard. So they're going to come back and they're going to show us, but we don't have any standard to hold it to. The interior plans for sound system, the sound levels, and control measures for potential noise trespass. This is important to a lot of people, and so that will be to demonstrate to sound engineering how they're going to control this, whether it's blackout curtains or how the thing is going to be soundproof, and so on and so forth. The interior lighting plan is also important. Living and shield bulb sources. No bulb sources should be glaring straight out of the window. They should be recessed, hooded, or shielded. And that cuts down the lighting trespass with the visibility outside substantially. Plan details regarding median features, the basement level, and that could be, they're not locked in anything, so it could be just going to be unfinished for now. The Arts Council has 9 pottery wheels that have been donated, and so they immediately use an unfinished basement, the whole pottery house. We've got a pottery teacher moving now, the other potters in town of potters. So that's one way it could be used. There's other ways that an unfinished basement could be put to good advantage in the interim. And I'm not saying they won't come up with a plan and do some basement finishing, but right now it's still probably unfinished. Plan for landscaping and buffering elements around the structure, as well as the parking lot. This is not really required, but it's in all of our work with Lee and Ellis. It's just a good idea. And the applicant have agreed. They put it on their landscaping plan. And there's already some cottonwood trees there. So they'll provide us a plan for both the parking lot and the structure. All the ADA provisions, the exits, the fire safety, all applicable codes. This is an important condition. Events and gathering outside the structure that requires lighting and or sound equipment are not authorized. So your recommendations, only the inside use of the building that requires lighting, special lighting, and sound system has to be inside. Outside is quiet use for small gatherings, such as plenty of painting classes, small workshops allowed. Any questionable outside uses shall require an application for a temporary use permit under the ordinances. And then we can look at this and see, you know, does it really apply? Because right now there is no, nothing on the drawings indicating an outside use area. And as you know, we have the park, to finish the pavilion and do the music in the park up there. And otherwise, it has to meet, of course, all of the zoning setbacks, heights, slopes, and any other relevant positions. I issue the building permits, and of course, so I have to check all of that. The UDOT permit, plans for specifications that meet the UDOT requirements, highway 12, and fencing the front yard. So those are the two things I now make formal conditions. Property management. I've added a couple of things here because I got a couple of questions that I thought should be addressed. So since the plan, this went to the planning commission, I just added these today. So, a management plan with hours, and then it's a designated scheduler for the center and all other managerial functions. Provisions for maintenance of the grounds and building. I added some to number C, number 4C, and that arose, several people asked me this question, and there was concern, what keeps this from becoming a generic drive the buses up and unload the buses tourist venue. The center shall be managed and operated as a non-profit, community-based venue for the purposes stated in the application. This condition, this condition prohibits the owner and future owners from advertising, promoting, or using the center as a tourist venue or for-profit venue. This is important too. It does not prohibit the community-based users from charging for a workshop, a class, a performance, a lecture, or similar activities. Part of the goal here is to support the arts and support the artists, and hopefully they can end the Sustainable Ag people and facilitate them making a living at their art and ag. Okay, number five, this is important, and Lee Nellis suggested this, and it's a really good idea. Final plans and specifications, when completed and prior to a project building permit being issued, shall be submitted for review at the next regular PC meeting to assure compatibility with the application presented on 6/11/20 today. So that says, final plans and specifications, when completed, and prior to the zoning administrator issuing a building permit. So whenever they get all the engineering, all the plans, everything together, and before I can issue a building permit, I have to put it back on the next regular PC meeting, not for a public hearing. That part of the law is satisfied tonight, but just so that you can look at it and make sure that it complies with all the conditions listed above. And then this is another one, the Lee suggested, Lee Nellis suggested, and this is just a simple restatement of the law. Any violation of foregoing conditions or change in plans is specification approved or failure to meet these conditions or correct any violation upon due notice thereof may result in suspension and if justified after a public hearing, revocation of the conditional use permit. So that just merely restates the law, but Lee suggested putting it in. Okay. I believe that concludes the staff report, and I think what I will do is Anybody, any of the members of the public who has questions that they want me to answer, I'm just going to write them down, and then during, after the public hearing closes, I would elicit these questions, and then if Colleen wants me to answer them, she can ask me to answer them, and I'll do that. Or I can also answer any questions or address any concerns that the BC members have at that time. So that concludes the zoning administrator's report.
Okay, so the next thing that I will be asking is, does the applicant have any statement or anything to add? So, Jackie, welcome. Let's see, I think we need to get Jackie so she can hear us. Well, Dr. Shave?
Just so you know, Jackie has requested that her team, they each want to make a brief statement.
Yeah.
Team consists of her, Carol on the arts, Andy on the ag, and Elizabeth on the school.
Okay, so yeah, they will follow after Jackie.
Okay, I asked to unmute her. So I'm just waiting for her to respond. And down in your lower left, Jackie, there's a mute with a slash, and if you just click on that, you should be able to unmute yourself.
Thanks. Can you hear us, Jackie?
Can you unmute her?
No.
All I can do is ask her to unmute.
Oh, darn.
Oh. Does anybody know sign language?
Okay, so, I think we might want to go ahead and go on to the next person.
Okay, she's on.
That's a good idea.
She's on. Jackie's on.
There we go. Okay, there we go. Hi, everyone.
Hey!
Okay.
This hearing is about my plans for the structure of my own property. It meets all of the town's ordinances. That is my eastern public situation. To conduct a land council and workshops and to benefit the community, most particularly children. For many years, I've held agricultural workshops, dance events, musical events, and literary gatherings in my house and home. I think having a separate building on the ranch to hold these events will be an improvement on standing room only at my house and the sometimes coldness and draftiness of the barn. My vision statement, which accompanied my CUP application filed on March 19th of this year, explains how and why this project was conceptualized. I will turn over the mic to Cheryl Cox, President of the Boulder Arts Council, for details about the arts in Boulder, Andy Rice, my ranch manager, for details of our regenerative agricultural program, and finally to Elizabeth Julian, our Boulder elementary teacher, the details of how this venue will provide benefits for her students. Briefly, Boulder has been a center for arts and ag since its founding. Doyle Mosman's loom, on which he created his beautiful rag rugs, was hauled to Boulder on the back of a mule in 1890. Doyle told stories of riding over the mountain on horseback to attend dances in Pittsburgh at a community cultural center which is currently being destroyed. I learned to dance to country music with the Fair Hall, which was like floating on air. The band producing the music was composed of locals. Dance continues to be an important part of the community, with on-site dances provided both by and for the community. This tradition is carried on by a local musician, both the All Stars, the Patrick Prince Band, and many others. Visual arts were present in the early days when the Ray King painted cows, arches, the toadstool, and the women on the rocks as five arches drove into town. That tradition is carried on today by artists such as Scotty Mitchell, Amy Woodbury, Anselm Spring, Spike Lewis. Name but a few of the artists who are working or have worked in Boulder. Boulder also has a little interior room.
Jackie, uh-oh. Your sound just cut out, Jackie. Uh-oh. Jackie, can you hear us? Uh-oh.
She's frozen. It looks like her connection may have failed, so we'll give her a minute to see if she can reconnect.
Okay.
I'll send her a chat message as well. She's not in this meeting, so it looks like her internet disconnected.
Okay.
Okay, let's just go on to Cheryl then. Cheryl, are you there? If Jackie can come back in, we'll see that she's reconnected with us.
Yes, right here.
Okay, thank you, Cheryl.
Okay, this is Cheryl Cox, and I'm speaking on behalf of the Boulder Arts Council as the president. But I'd like to focus my time as someone who has created community events for the past 15 years in Boulder. Throughout this time, I have wished for and dreamed of a site currently being proposed. During one Heritage Festival, when we were sharing one of Raymond's plays as a fundraiser for the festival, wind and rain arrived and we had nowhere to go.
Okay,
so we canceled and refunded all ticket sales. Nonetheless, there was the evening in which we booked one of the top classical guitarists in the nation to provide a concert for Boulder residents. I could see his head from where I sat, but the only time I got a glimpse of him playing his guitar was when someone moved a little and I could see between the chairs in the community center. When there was the romantic Valentine's evening with Jessica and Carlson, we created a stage using a string of lights, and as they played that evening, you couldn't see their faces because the only lighting option was the overhead lights on. I've also made many one or two twice a day trips to Escalante in order to provide our community with outstanding dance performances or world class storytellers that required the high school auditorium. That meant that few and older people were able to attend, and unfortunately not many Escalante people either. There are so many events that have been offered to our community that we've not been able to book those because of inadequate facilities, especially when we're wanting to do something in the winter. I really would like to thank Jackie for her generosity in offering such an incredible gift to our community. Having served previously on the Escalante Heritage Board for several years while they were trying to get funding for a building project, I saw how difficult, if not impossible, it is to secure funds and donors for something that Jackie has committed to do and to give up. That's what she's always done for our town. She's provided money for our students for college scholarships over the years, and this is just one more of those really great opportunities that we have as a result of her generosity. And finally, I am equally as excited about the marriage of art and agriculture in this project. I really, really love the folk arts that I can envision as a part of this combination. Things like the art of quilt making, or horseshoeing, or gardening. But I'm even more excited about the ways, not even imagined yet, for how these two come together to demonstrate our commitment to the heritage and to show who we truly are. Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl. Jackie, are you there? Okay, so we were just going to go on through the list. We can't hear you right now, but so Andy, are you up?
I'm back.
Oh, there you go.
That's
okay,
fine.
Jackie, well, did you want to finish?
No, just go on.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so Andy.
Yeah, Andy Rice here. thanks for giving me an opportunity to speak this evening. I'm just here to basically reference what our ideas on the agricultural and educational component of the facility would be and how those two are intertwined. Just quickly, I'd like to address basically what it is, what it isn't, and how we see the benefits of the community there. I think that there's been some miscommunication and some confusion on the purpose and why do we, as Overton Canyon Ranch, want to have an agricultural education center. For the record, you know, we are not intending to host classes to teach the community anything on our own as Boulder Creek Canyon Ranch. We're not here trying to disrupt the system that's been there. We have some big ideas that we're very excited about in trying to head in a more regenerative, resource-conscious direction. And if anyone would like to share in our experience, we are here. But we don't intend to teach everybody how to do their farming practices. The educational component stems more from a facilitation standpoint where we intend to offer a space to locals, to state agencies such as 4-H and the Department of Education through the local school district and our Boulder Elementary School, and also through the NRCS, who is our main ally here from a federal standpoint. The NRCS exists to provide resources to farmers like ourselves and like others in Boulder, especially those who are starting out or struggling to find ways to farm better with less resources. NRCS in particular believes that our community is underserved. They use that language themselves in our conversations, and they're very excited. We have a lot of talks. We've been involved in the process with our local NRCS people since November. We've had a lot of conversations with them about whether or not they would utilize the space if it was available, and the answer is always yes. They want to be here, they want to be communicating with people in Boulder, they want to get more people farming in Boulder and help the people that are farming to be supported in their resources. We are a resource poor community from an agricultural standpoint. Nature didn't give us much to work with. We have poor soil as a trend and a little bit of water. So, there are programs that exist with NRCS to help people learn to build soil and to use their water more efficiently, and any outreach potential that they have is a benefit. They are committed to joining our process here and would make use of the facility for this variable. Moving down the list of the state agencies, you know, thinking of 4-H, that's from my personal perspective as a community member and as a neighbor and as a father with young kids. An opportunity to have a program like 4-H have kind of a home base right here on the ranch is something that I'm very proud of. That's a concept that I just love to think about, and the future is bright for us all, I think, with that situation. Having a facility that people can meet in and that animals can be around and that kids can learn about the opportunity that they might not have otherwise is just fantastic. From a local perspective, we, you know, agriculturally speaking, want to have an open door and have the ability for our neighbors to have workshops conducted, lectures given, and teaching opportunities made available to them. So all of those things I'm very proud of. I hope that that helps to clear up anything that has been confusing, and I'm happy to have any questions answered after this meeting tonight or any time publicly. So thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Andy. Oh, Miss Elizabeth?
Hi, yes. For those who don't know me, I'm Elizabeth Julian, and I'm the head teacher at Boulder Elementary School. And I would like to address the possibility for Jackie Smalley's proposed center to offer to the students and families of Boulder. And to begin with, I just want to say thank you to Jackie for both reaching out to me as the head teacher and for the desire to provide more for the students and the families in our community. So over the years, the school has brought in the Utah Shakespeare Outreach Program, the Utah Opera, Ryrie Woodbury Dance Company, Utah Children's Theater, the Tupanonga Storytellers, the Discovery Gateway Children's Museum, the Natural History Museum, and all of these organizations have provided a unique opportunity to our students They teach, they perform, and they collaborate with the children here, as well as the adults in the community. A lot of these enrichment opportunities the school has brought have needed to be held in Ypsilanti, and many families don't attend, resulting in a missed opportunity for the youth in the community due to the distance. We've tried to invite astronomer Cameron Pace to Boulder with his inflatable portable planetarium. Cameron is a professor in astronomy, and he grew up in Bicknell, and he visits our neighboring communities and schools in Wayne and Garfield County. But we've never had a building in our town that is both high enough and with high enough ceilings and large enough footprint to accommodate. 2 years ago, our students traveled to Ypsilanti every day, so they had an opportunity to perform on the stage at the high school. The travel took away from studies and rehearsal time, not to mention it was an expense beyond our budget for the yearly travel. Currently, the school hosts monthly events in the common room, as well as seasonal plays and performances. And although these activities have been amazing, the school doesn't have a gym, a stage, or appropriate seating for the audience, as many elementary schools do. At this time, I can only imagine how much better the events and activities we have done in the past would be in a facility, as proposed by Jackie. And I'm excited to see what other things we might envision for our students and our community members. Thank you for giving me an opportunity to speak.
Thank you, Elizabeth. So I think that is all of Jackie's team. And so we can go ahead and can we move on to the public hearing?
I think you already have. You already opened it.
Right. So, okay, so then what we're going to do then is, so one of the things I wanted to mention was that we have received letters. I read all the letters that came in before noon, so I think most of the Planning Commission has read the letters that that have been sent to Peg and Curtis. So I wanted to make note of that we have received all of them and looked at them. I have personally. And so I guess what we'll do now is open it up to the public.
Colleen?
Hey, Colleen.
Can I make
a few words? So Peg and Michela are going to kind of help us get this started. So Peg or Michela, either one of you, if you have some information, go ahead, Michela.
Let me just say one thing about the letters, because just before the meeting, shortly after 6 o'clock, I'd received a couple more letters that weren't in the packet sent out to the Planning Commission, so all of those letters are on the website right now. You go to the Planning Commission page on the boulder.utah.gov website, and then scroll down to the first paragraph where it says minutes, meet, agenda, and recordings, and all of the supporting documentation is there related to this June 11th meeting. So it's all there. Okay, that's all. Michela?
The only thing I was going to is give a little instruction. If for anybody who doesn't know how to virtually raise your hand, if you go to the bottom of your screen and click on participants, it'll bring a list up of everyone. And then at the very bottom of that screen, there's an invite, a mute all, and then a raise your hand. So we'll start with everyone virtually. Looks like Dave and Patrice are our first. So I'll go in order of that list. Try to be mindful of time. We'll try to keep it about 3 minutes to start per person. And then afterwards, I don't know if we have, I think Marion was our only call-in tonight, so I'll just keep an eye on that, and we'll go from there, okay? So go ahead, Dave and Patrice.
Before you start, I'd like to remind one thing, and that is that whatever you have to say, please say it all in one go. Public hearing is not, there's no rebuttal, there's no second time. Everybody gets one chance, and then we're done with the public hearing.
And please restate your name again. you please state your name before you make a statement, please? Go ahead. No.
Yeah, Jay, give us just 1 second. I think Josie has a quick question. Josie, go ahead.
Barely.
I can hear you.
Okay, thank you. I'm ready. My question is, are you implying that you are not doing the library search today?
I'm sorry.
So, how many letters are there? We are going to read the letters because I think there was over, was there 20?
23.
There was over 20 of them.
23 letters.
Yeah. So for the sake of time, for the sake of time, we do have the letters on record. I think everyone read the letters from the Planning Commission. And, so we have decided to put them on public record and listen to all the people that are here on the public meeting tonight.
Okay, I would just like to state that one of the conditions of this not being a public hearing where folks speak face-to-face is that they could submit letters. And those people were able to get on the panel or meet at the meeting at the center, they could have an opportunity to speak and engage with everyone there.
I think I heard most. You're pretty garbled, Josie. I don't want to ask you to say that again. Did anyone else hear that clearly? I'm sorry, I did not hear that very clearly.
It was very garbled. I couldn't make out what Josie was saying.
I couldn't either. So, Josie, did you hear that? Okay, so I would like to move forward with Dave Mock and Patrice as long as we have them here. I want to listen to as many people as we can that are on the meeting tonight so that we can have the letters and our open public. So please go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, it's Dave Mock with Boulder Mountain Lodge. We just got it down the street from one of the first times. I just listened to Cheryl and all the good points she made with us and obviously Jackie, and I'm not going to go through the redundancy of repeating them, but I can certainly see what we had a need for a facility like this in the community for decades. And it's a gathering place, and I assume someday we will be gathering again in a normal fashion. That is an assumption, but what it really does in my mind is it brings the place of convergence. And the convergence is the culture, agriculture, and the arts. And that is really a unique vision in the sense of a sacred community. So from my perspective, and I'll let the truth speak for itself, I really feel like this is not only a huge bonus for us as individuals in the community in general, but I also think it's something that we really have needed for years. And again, to have a generation of Boulder like Jackie step up, and with her support team and the people working with her, to come to a facility where you could actually see it and make it happen, I just think it's outstanding. So I just want to let everyone know how much they support it and how grateful I am for the people that have put it together.
Thank you.
Can I just add one quick comment? I go to so many different council meetings, and normally the big issue is how are we going to raise money for such a fabulous project. And the fact that we have this project and it's a win-win for everybody is such a great thing for Boulder, and I'm really excited about it. So I just strongly urge you to support this project, and I'm looking forward to being there when it opens.
Hey, Sheila, before we comment, did you see the note from Haley that she would read a statement from Josie?
I haven't seen that.
Okay, so let's please move on to the next person.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
This is Josie. Great. Okay. Sorry. I had to connect to a different microphone and video system. And the video connect will not work. I apologize. I just wanted to state that as a condition of our having public hearings online and not available in a forum where everyone can meet face to face was that citizens could submit letters. Not necessarily, we didn't imply that it would be read, but to submit letters if they couldn't attend the Zoom meeting. Now, if we were in a public hearing in normal conditions, everyone would have the chance to get up and speak. And so saying that they're not going to get that opportunity because they're unable to attend to these, you know, this technology, this means, is unfair in a public hearing setting. I just wanted to state that. I think at the least that we could do is read the letters to those who are not present here tonight.
I think, Josie, if I could just respond really quickly, I think I've made it available that we have toll-free call-in for any of those folks that can't access via a computer. Do you not feel that that's sufficient?
I don't know if anyone has that access or ability. I mean, you know, they submitted letters thinking that that was going to cover, because that's in our notes. They can submit letters. What we said is what the town council said.
So what I have to say to that basically is that those letters are written to the Planning Commission. Granted, the public is there at the meeting, but the letters are directed at us, as Planning Commissioners. And so, as it stands right now, I still am going to say that the letters are will be posted. And for the sake of not only time, but mainly for time, I would like to hear the people that have been able to hook up with us tonight on the Zoom, and that the letters will be, and as Dave said today, we have conditions, you know, Curtis was saying, we've gone over some of these conditions that will be on the conditional use permit. So I would like to move forward.
Understood.
Okay, thank you, Josie. Okay, next on our list is Steve and Cheryl Cox. Go ahead. Are they there? I just asked them to unmute. There we go.
There we go. Thank you. This is Steve Cox speaking. Cheryl and I own a lot to the south and adjacent to the Boulder Creek Canyon Ranch. Even though we weren't pictured on the map that Curtis showed, we are directly across from Highway 12, and of course then that means we are adjacent land owners by the definition in our own ordinance. Now, stated in our ordinances, and the Planning Commission knows this, I think, Section 804, conditions for approval, and I'm going to quote that because I think it's important. The Commission may impose such requirements and conditions with respect to location, construction, maintenance, operation, site planning, traffic control, and time limits, and other items for the conditional use permit as being necessary for the protection of adjacent property and the public interest. End of quote. So we are included specifically in the ordinance as adjacent landowners. One of the reasons for having a public hearing on conditional use permits is to determine if the applicant has identified and agreed to conditions necessary for protection of adjacent properties, such as ours. I have read the application and the staff report with consideration of all conditions allowed by the ordinance. I am satisfied as an adjacent landowner that the application addresses and mitigates impacts and clearly outlines conditions necessary for approval of this application. I am in favor of the approval of the CUP application for the Arts and Agricultural Center, and I too want to thank Jackie for her generosity in allowing the town to have such a wonderful gift. So thank you.
Thank you, Steve. Sheila?
I'm just giving it one second.
Okay. I just want to make sure I acknowledge you each time. So.
No, thank you. I appreciate that. I think maybe at this point, since I don't have any more people that have raised their hand in the chat participant screen, something that maybe I just received a chat recommendation or suggestion, maybe we can mention the persons that submitted the letters and whether they supported or opposed in an effort to save time versus reading all of those letters. I'll leave that to the Planning Commission for, okay, but think about that for a minute. Our next request is Tina Carlson. Go ahead.
Okay, can you hear me?
Absolutely.
Sorry, I was going to put my face up, but I figured that one out. I just want to let the Planning Commission know that I feel this is a really amazing gift and that the issues that it will change Boulder in some way that's not to the advantage of the people in Boulder. I just want to say that I don't feel that the facility is set up to do anything but support the community in a way that will only allow us to be basically more educated and fulfilled, and that we will have the chance to get together and communicate better. So that's my gift. Thanks.
Okay, Sheila, is there anyone else?
Yes, our next person is Scott Aho. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hi.
My name is Scott Aho. I'm a resident of Boulder, a visual artist, and I'm a member of the Boulder Art Council. And tonight I'm speaking as a visual artist. I just have a short statement to read, and here it goes. How fortunate Boulder to be to receive the beautiful new Arts and Council, Arts and Cultural Center. One of Boulder's main identities is as a creative hotbed. From the Writer's Workshop, the Elk Sculpture in the Park, the Modern Dance Performance last summer, to the vibrant music scene and a cascade of artists, Boulder has deep roots in the arts. The ACC provides a home base for this unique aspect of our town, with its versatile layout, which benefits all the arts, with performance, art display, production, and educational facilities. The location is very functional as well, with its own independent footprint and ample parking. The HCC doesn't add congestion to the town when events are held. And the motive of Jackie Smalley in putting forth the HCC is clear. It is not for financial profit. It is to provide, and not to provide a tourist attraction. It is simply to provide a facility to encourage the creative spirit of the people of Boulder. A spirit of creativity the town excels in already, and it would embrace the resources that ACC would provide. Artists are driven to make art, but just as strongly driven to perform and display their art. The ACC provides this needed space. It is an amazing and rare gift for Boulder, and it should be embraced for the decades of service it will provide to our talented Boulder community. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Okay, our next raised hand is Andrea Rice. Go ahead.
This is Andrea Rice. I just wanted to jump on. I am
one of the people who did write a letter to the Planning Commission in favor, and I'm a Boulder resident of just over a year, and I'm also a mother of two young children. And I just wanted to jump in really quickly and say how wonderful the idea of having a facility to teach children things that, you know, that can embrace this culture and this lifestyle of such a wonderful community that we live in. The idea of having 4-H classes is exciting. The idea of being anything artistic with a spin of culture just down the road for all of us parents, as opposed to driving over the mountain or you know, at least an hour away, is exciting and thrilling and, you know, an important part of raising our children in today's society. So many of these things are lost, I think, and we have a unique advantage of living in a beautiful place where we can be away from the hustle and bustle, but having these opportunities would only benefit the future of all the students here, and there are quite a few. Also, my letter specifically mentions this early this year, I started a beginning ballet / creative movement dance class for young children. This is 3 to 8. I had an overwhelming response to that and always had kids showing up, girls and boys. And it was a lot of fun. I'm so grateful that I was able to use the community center that is here to offer that class. However, the conditions there are not pristine for dancing and moving, especially for those of us who have maybe older joints. Dancing on concrete, for anyone who's tried it, can definitely cause problems. Also, you know, the use of mirrors and bars and things like that proved to be a challenge there. And so the thought of having a facility where that could continue and we could pick up once it's appropriate and social distancing is lifted in such a way that we could do it is exciting to me as well. So also, lastly, I want to as well jump on the train of thanking Jackie for such an amazing and generous offer and idea and plan. And I hope that this comes to fulfillment. Thanks for your time.
Thank you. At this time, I don't have any more virtual hand raises, so I'm going to recommend that everybody who's not on camera and can't figure it out, maybe start your video and or unmute yourself. I hate to create a free-for-all, but I want everyone to have a chance to speak if they need to speak. And then maybe we go back to my earlier suggestion, Colleen, if you want to maybe give letters, participants in favor or no, that's up to you.
But yeah, I believe that the statement that I made is where I'm going to stand. If we take one letter or we take two letters, then what about the other 20? I know those letters were written, and I think I might reiterate this again to the Planning Commission. And I read them, and I am hoping that all the Planning Commissioners read those letters. And for the sake of time, I'm just not sure that we need to read 22 letters, and I don't want to leave anyone out. So I would like to stand on that. If anyone that wrote a letter, I think several people that wrote letters have already spoken. If you want to, if there's any more public input right now, I would.
Okay, I do have one more hand raised. Tessa Barkin. Tessa, go ahead.
Hi. I just wanted to state that I'm grateful for the opportunities that the Arts Council have given us in this town, but at the same time, I feel like these opportunities have been available for us. They've already been available for us. And I have concerns about this sector. I think that it doesn't fit in with the primary objectives that are listed in our general plan. And my main concerns are about the rising property values here. There's research that talks about the connection between property values and increasing cultural centers such as this. And I'm worried about the land values increasing to a point that closes out lots of young families, including like people my age. And so I know that's a bigger issue than this art center. But I feel like this is something that could contribute to that. So thank you.
Thank you, Tessa. I don't have anybody else at this time.
Okay,
so, yeah, go ahead, Curtis.
Okay, it's been raised by Josie, and it's been raised twice now by Michelle. So, the letters, there are 23 letters, as a fine pot guy. I compiled them all in a long list, and 5 were opposed, and the other 18 were in favor.
Okay. Thank you for that information.
I can read the names of the people who submitted. Oops, sorry.
So with that information, and there being no other public comment, do I have a motion to close the public hearing?
I'll make a motion to close the public hearing and open back up.
And can I have a second?
I second that motion, Haley Atchison.
And all in favor, aye, Colleen Thompson. Sorry.
Aye,
aye, Josie Newsom.
Aye, Kate Schaus.
Aye, Haley Atchison.
Okay, so that's everyone, right?
Yes.
Okay, so now we're going to open this up for discussion with the Planning Commission. So if anyone has any comments to make before, since we've listened to the public comments, can you please feel free to speak?
This is Chelsea, I'll go first.
Thank you.
So first, I just want to state the conditional use permits fall under the zoning ordinance. We've read the sections of the zoning ordinance on what the Planning Commission needs to consider, whether to approve or disapprove this conditional use application. I want to call out section 104 of the zoning ordinance. The purpose of the ordinance is to implement the goals and policies of the Boulder Town General Plan and other purposes as provided for by the Act. It's an ordinance to provide a means of ensuring the predictability and consistency in the use and development of lands located within the town. These purposes are met by 1, providing for the implementation of the Boulder Town General Plan. There's more of a agenda 2-12, but what this ordinance states is that the CUPs, which is the other purposes provided for in this Act, are required to be in compliance with the goals and policies of the General Plan. Section 104 is going on. So to move on to my comments on the CUP application, I agree that the third park and cultural building does support some of the general community goals of the general plan. Mainly goal 7, which is to provide facilities for education, recreation, and cultural activities. However, I cannot agree that this proposal complies with the general plan vision and its supporting goals because it does not preserve the ranching, small-scale agricultural wilderness lifestyle of the place in keeping with the rural frontier spirit of Boulder, nor does it protect the open space and quiet country-style atmosphere that currently exists. We received 6 letters from the community who expressed these same concerns. I want to talk about regarding the view shed. I appreciate the proposed vegetation buffers that would surround the arts and cultural center. The vegetation would help shield the surrounding residential homes from the view of the building. However, the view shed from Highway 12 and mesas surrounding Boulder will be forever impacted. Since long before Highway 12 was paved, the view from above Boulder Town was to have a beautiful green pastures and attractive farmhouses and barns. This proposed center will forever change that appearance with an overwhelmingly large venue, built to look like a barn with a lot of windows, and a massive parking lot that will replace the section that was but is currently a protected path space. Some of our commenters expressed the concern that increased amenities, development, and infrastructure will increase property values. Affordable housing is already moving outside the realm of a possibility here. Current living prices in Boulder are so far above the median income that the only people who can afford to buy and build here are wealthy move-ins. We are failing our community. And just like the communities of Park City, Springdale, Moab, and so on, young families and working class will have to move somewhere else where they can afford to live and work. Another concern is the cost to operate and maintain the facility. The Boulder residents have to put this bill now or in the future. In other words, will Boulder residents' taxes be used to maintain and operate this building? The original deed of conservation easement states that the residential and agricultural zone where this building is proposed has been allowed use to, quote, maintain, repair, remodel, or replace the existing barn, corrals, existing single-family residence, and associated structures, provided those space shall be approximately the same square footage, built in approximately the same location, and shall not in any event be rebuilt outside the existing structure envelope. The rebuilding of the single-family residence shall not exceed 2 stories in height, shall not exceed 30 feet in height, and the maximum square footage shall not exceed 2,500 square feet. This proposed arts and cultural center is 4,000 square feet and does not state the height in the plan submitted to this application, so we don't know if it also exceeds the height requirement. The deed of conservation easement states that the establishment of any commercial activity is prohibited without limitations, and that commercial activity is inconsistent with the purposes of the easement. The conditions of the CDP application state that the center will be community-based, and I appreciate that. The applicant and Curtis have stated that this is not a commercial building. It's built to commercial design standards and accommodate 50 vehicles and seat 110 people, but they don't consider it commercial because it will be managed and operated as a nonprofit. I do appreciate the edits to the conditions of the permit that Curtis added today regarding not advertising the venue as a tourist destination or to use as commercial for-profit activities. Thank you for that. Conservation recent education is listed as one of the activities that we can offer at the Coast Center. I had a professor who advised his students that conservation easements such as this one with the Nature Conservancy and NRCS are not bulletproof. That although the terms of conditions in the deed of conservation easement are stated as perpetual, and I quote, the property will be retained forever, substantially unchanged from its present natural, scenic, agricultural, and open space condition, and to prevent any use of the property that will significantly impair or interfere with conservation values, end quote. This professor warned us that lawyers and developers can change these conservation contracts to meet their desired development. This is evident here, as this CUP application speaks of 2 amendments to the original conservation easement. I'm very discouraged that the conservation easement has been changed from its original intent. The 2018 community work group voiced the desire to keep Boulder Boulder. Over the past 1.5 years, the Planning Commission and Zoning Administrator herself have met with staff. We passed the ADU ordinance that doubles the allowable density of these zones. And the RSCR ordinance now allows commercial tourism within our once private, quiet, and peaceful rural residential neighborhood. The traffic throughout our town is choking us. Conditional use permits are on the rise, and I've advised the Planning Commission that it's imperative to pull the effects from every CUP needs to be considered with each new application. This is not happening. To summarize, this building proposal is a major change for our community that will forever change the lifestyle and landscape of our home. I'm in agreement with those who have expressed concerns that this proposal is being pushed through in the time of COVID and social distancing measures. I think it's unfair to our community to not give everyone the opportunity to speak face-to-face about their concerns. Thank you.
Elaine, I would like to clear up a couple of points on the law, legal points.
Okay. Right.
Okay.
Okay, the general plan indeed has things that will support this and also have provisions that support agriculture. However, a general plan is not the governing document when it comes to issuing a conditional use permit. The general plan guides you in constructing your ordinances and amending them to do whatever you're going to do. But the law is very clear. You have to look to the ordinances when making a decision on something like a conditional use permit or subdivision or whatever. The general plan is a guiding document for crafting your ordinances. But you don't, it doesn't have the binding effect of the ordinances. And you can't, the law is very, very clear, the case law is very clear on this, that you don't just look at the general plan to make a decision like this. The second point is that was discussed, and that is outside the purview. There's nothing in our ordinance that says that you consider it a private deed restriction. And the landowner, the applicant here, is entitled to have a hearing under the ordinances, under the provisional ordinances. If in fact, she did not get permission to, for any reason, to have her conservation easement amended to allow this use, and the uses, the use comprises, it's a 296 acre land, the use comprises, 1% of it. But the deed restriction, once again, is not the business of the town. That is the applicant's to deal with, and that's between her and the holders of the deed restriction, which at this time is the state of Utah and NRCS. But we have to stick to our ordinances in making our decisions.
One thing that I will say about the letters, I didn't think it should have been lumped in with all the letters that we got today, because one of them was from Mark McKiff, which is our attorney. That letter was a positive letter, so I did want to note that he was informed of what is happening here, and his reply is also in the public. Will be in the public letters that you can see, and it was a positive statement.
He said it complied, the application complied with the ordinance.
Right. Okay. Michelle, do you have any other, does anyone have any, I didn't mean Michelle, is anyone on the phone?
Yeah, I'd like to make some comments here. So, let's see. So, on the legality that Curtis is talking about, Steve read the same statement, that the commission may impose such requirements and conditions with respect to location, construction, maintenance, operation, site planning, traffic control, and time limits, and other items. For the conditional use permit as being necessary for the protection of adjacent properties, and the part I hit on is the public interest. And so in this statement, when I hear public interest, I have to go to the general plan, which is the basis for making decisions on land use applications. And I do want to, in a roundabout way, I'm going to get to a place where I want to talk about perhaps some more mitigations or conditions and how to deal with it. I think the team here with Dark Center has done, an admirably thorough job. It's a generous offer, and in many ways I agree it's consistent with the general plan. And but in my study of it too, there are also some inconsistencies, which means it's inconsistent to me with public interest. It's a bit of a project which seems at odds with itself, and that seems to correspond with, I forget the numbers, but some of the mixed comments we've received, and so I sort of want to point on to that. The one concern that I have, as many people have, is that it has the potential to change the character of Boulder rather than preserve it. The character of Boulder is a spread out, egalitarian frontier, down home, local feeling, sort of stubborn, independent town. At the moment, events, entertainment, and education happen in a downscale and a creative style that moves around the town in an organic way. I think centralizing and upscaling this can erode the distinctive character of Boulder. The second thing is the regenerative agriculture is great, is awesome. It's a nice fit for Boulder. But as other people have mentioned, the arts and entertainment aspect of the CEP, I think can lead more towards unintended consequences of destination tourism that has commercial undertones. And that can attract a specific genre of visitor and can potentially change the demographics of the town. I think that's the issue people are concerned over. That's part of the public interest. People, in a nutshell, Boulder residents don't want an imported urban lifestyle. I mean, we've seen this in towns that, as Josie has mentioned, Millette and Dale Park City, probably right. So, three, there's a possibility of a gentrification process, and this could shift the ability of the town to retain its character, meaning the future of Boulder veers away from the intent of self-reliance and resiliency. All hard won skills through experience of making it good. Land prices can get driven up, and then the future we want with affordable housing for the future of Boulder, which is this younger generation, becomes more difficult. So, though the center is community-based, which I appreciate, it still has the possibility of attracting outside performance venues, outside attendees, events. And so, to me, there are consequences that don't serve the full intent of the public interest. And parts of it that don't underscore sort of the underlying spirit, the full underlying spirit of the rural heritage and character that Boulder is and that we revere. So those are some of my concerns. I think that, so the questions I have from here for the Planning Commission is around mitigations and conditions. How do we, given these concerns, how can we mitigate or provide conditions that make sure the quiet country atmosphere exists? It's public interest that the rural heritage character stays as it is. That's public interest. How do we mitigate for unintended consequences of gentrification, and how do we mitigate for this attraction and possibly commercial undertones that come in? I think the noise and traffic have been dealt with pretty well. We had questions about last meeting about special permit events or temporary use permits when they're very large venues and how often those might be. I think in town when events like that happen, someone has to get a special use permit. How does that work in this situation? Also, and finally, a condition in which the CUP that may get passed has a check-in condition by the PC to monitor that it's staying up to its standards for the future, whether it passes on from the Arts Council to another nonprofit or however that works. Thank you.
Does anyone, do any of the other council members have any comments? Okay, so possible actions here are that we're going to approve the application, with the conditions that have been set forth by the zoning administrator.
or to deny the application, and we haven't been doing this on our denials, but it is part of the process that if you deny the application, then you will need to specify what you deny the application and what basis that is on. So right now what I'm asking is that I have a motion that we either approve the application, we approve it with the conditions that our zoning administrator has put on it, or you deny the application. So before on our voting, we were always in a building, and we generally started from one end of the row and went to the other end of the row. Since we can't do that right now, we've been trying to figure out how to do it voting, and we talk about it being alphabetical, which is fine. Right now, what I decided was that we would have Peg put all of our names in a hat, and she drew those names, and we will be voting in that direction. Go ahead.
Good morning, Christy. I had myself muted, and I did want to say something.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I muted myself. I just wanted to address a couple of the things that Matt said about his concern of having a building of any size that might take away from the community, somehow the community spirit or whatever. And I've lived in 5 towns under 4,000 people. In each of those towns, there was something called the Germania Hall, which was constructed by German farmers that arrived in the late 1800s, and we used that to sing and dance, and it brought our community together. Also, a lot of other functions, with voting and just all kinds of things. The other thing was the Grange Hall, which I'm sure all of you are familiar with, but almost in every small town that you go through, there is a facility. And if anything, it brings people together, just like we've seen some of the events in our town. It feels so good to be able to meet your neighbors in a really nice situation. And I just don't see this facility as being divisive in some way. I mean, it just seems to me to be more of an inclusive thing. If you don't want to go to functions, which many people don't in this town, that's fine too, but that's up to them. But for the little people that want to learn to dance, for everyone else who may want to enjoy themselves and their neighbors in a nice situation, I just can't imagine a nicer locality and building. It's a small building. And as far as the view shed, as much as I love Hills and Hollows, my gosh, you know, it's on top of a hill with a great big bright sign. It hasn't caused any ill effects. I mean, you might want a smaller thing, but that's a thing of the past. But change is inevitable, and our responsibility as a planning commission is to try to change those things in a general direction as to how we want to go, but it is not our duty to form a certain way of thinking about this town. It's up to the people of this town, and they have been voiced, and there are letters, and I think we should take into consideration which way those tip, and represent the town instead of our own fears. And that's all I've got to say.
Okay, so I...
Colleen, we need a motion and a second before we do the vote.
Okay. I'm sorry, I'll make that.
Yeah, no, that's okay. I wanted to make sure that no one had anything else to say. And so, and I was going to just go ahead and ask anybody on the Planning Commission if they had anything else more that they wanted to say before we put this motion forward. And Cookie?
I would like to make the motion. I'm going to approve the application of Jackie Smalley for a conditional use permit with the 6 conditions that are stated in the staff report, and that was, I think, back June 6th, and introduced into record tonight by the zoning administrator.
Okay, and then Peg, will you please tell us how we're going
to... I'm going to call names, and then you're going to vote, okay?
Okay.
It'll be a regular roll call vote. Cookie Schaus?
Aye.
Josie Muse? Josie Muse, are you muted?
I am muted. My vote is no for the reasons I stated.
You all need a second.
No. Oh, so sorry.
Sorry. Thank you, Elizabeth.
Okay, so Cookie made the motion, and we need a second. I'll second it.
Okay. So going on, Cookie... Yes, with the conditions. Okay. Josie, what?
So my vote is no for the reasons I stated.
Okay. And, well, I think so her reasons are it's her statement. The reasons
I have a short list if you'd like me to state them again.
No, that's fine, but it's on her.
Yeah, it's on the record.
Okay. Haley?
Haley Atkinson, aye.
Matt?
For the reasons I stated in the record on protecting the public interest in the zoning ordinance, my vote is no.
And Colleen?
I vote aye. With the conditions that were added to it from the zoning administrator.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I'd like to add one thing to my statement, and that is the conditions that I suggested we work on, since we didn't seem to address those, that's part of my reason for voting no as well.
Could I suggest something, Colleen?
Yes.
It's, as I recall, it's part of our zoning, it's part of the CUP ordinance. I'm pretty sure that there is, in fact, a review period. And typically that's a year review period where if there's been any complaints or problems, the Planning Commission has the opportunity to go back in and review the permit, pull the permit if the conditions aren't being met, you know, that kind of thing. So if you want to state that specifically, but I double check me, Curtis. I'm not sure. I think it's part of the ordinance, but you.
It's number 6 in the conditions you just adopted.
Okay.
It's condition number 6 that, you know, it has to be compliant. That if it's not compliant, the condition use permit can be revoked. And that's condition number 6. And it's also, remember, condition number 5. Final plans and specifications, when completed prior to the building permit being issued, shall be submitted. That includes all the management plans, the different things that they'll work their way through. Everything that was stated above, all of those different things, some of which address Matt's concerns.
Okay, so as far as the agenda, we will be moving on to the next item. That's all we need, is correct, Peg?
Yes, just your statement that the motion carried, and there were three votes in favor and two votes opposed.
Okay, thank you for stating that. I should have done that. Thank you. Okay, so then we will move on with the next item on the agenda, which is to discuss the RSTR map that we have requested from that Michaela is working on. And Michaela, can you?
Great. As you all noticed, I didn't publish it. I haven't sent it to you yet. I've got a question. I called the county recorder. There are some discrepancies with the mapping program I'm using, and the stated, I don't know what they're called, it's a list of property information owners. So I just want to clarify some of those before I actually publish it to all of you. I put in a call, and I've also sent an email. I know that Les Barker is not in the office due to COVID, and his voicemail refers you to the deputy. I called her as well, so I'm going to hold off on that just a few more days. If nothing is in return, I will publish that to everybody by end of week next week, so you can all get your hands on that and start looking through all of the information. It's a pretty comprehensive. Yeah, go ahead, Matt.
Michelle, I have a question. So I just want to make sure that the numbers that you're counting are accounted from when that RSTR passed, which I think was like June of 2019, occupation at that time.
Okay. That's helpful. Thank you for that reminder. And my questions are basically on some of the properties that there is a discrepancy on what we have stated. I know that the information that we have is the most recent, but I don't know the actual published date that Les Barker sent that to Judy. So I know I have a handful of properties, but I don't know whether to trust the documents that we have or what's on. And the program I'm using, it's called ONX. It's O-N capital X. It's a mapping, and it's used for hunting and off-roading. And I'm comparing that with the parcel numbers on UtahParcels.gov or something of that nature. So I look up the parcel number, and then I find it on that map, and I try to coordinate that with the actual written documents that we've received from the county recorder. So there are a few that I want to just verify before I publish it. It's pretty comprehensive, and it will be divided into sheets, so it will have an entire list of all the properties within the bounds of Boulder, boundaries of Boulder. And then it will be divided based on the description in the RSTR ordinance of upper, middle, and lower. And then you can go from there.
Well, I really appreciate your work. I know that stuff's complicated, having been in the land surveying and mapping business, so thank you. Yeah.
It's quite an education, and thank goodness for folks like Jabe and Curtis and Judy to help me read these maps.
Right. Well, much appreciated. Thank you.
Okay, so then should we go ahead and add that on to the agenda for next month then?
Okay, yeah. Maybe I'll do.
Oh, no, that's fine. I'm sure this is great. There's a lot of holdups right now. So thank you for your report. Does anyone else have any questions or comments for Michelle? Okay, so the next thing that we'll be talking about is the update on the work group, the table of uses, and Lee Nellis, the procedures. I want to thank you, Matt and Josie. I think everyone, the drop-down box, the document that you, I, and so far, I don't know, Matt, if you want to talk
little bit more about it, or do you have any other comments for it?
I have just a quick comment, and first of all, yes, you received the Dropbox last week, I believe, and that is a complete document from, you know, 6 months of work or so. I want to thank the working group who was involved with that, Josie Mews, Judy Drain, Randy Ricklinger, Donna Owens, Jeff Sanders, Mark Nelson, who else is on there, Pete Benson, and everyone involved has been a pretty long-time resident in Boulder, and actually it's pretty funny, I think almost everyone in there has been on town council or planning commission or the board of appeals, so there's a lot of expertise, people who've sort of been around the block and seen changes and stuff in Boulder. I think we have a balanced document, and at this point, it's something to put on the agenda for next month, because I think you'll need a month to get through it, and then we can figure out the strategy on where the PC wants to go with it from there, and how they want to deal with it before it gets passed up to town council. So, thank you.
Yeah, I do want to comment a little bit on that. When I read it, because I have been looking at it and reading at it, I just noted that all the people who had contributed to that table of uses and the sections that they had looked up and been involved with, and I found that interesting, being able to see who was involved with what section. And what we wanted to do was, we have a meeting scheduled for June 16th with Lee Nellis. And now that we have this document, we need to decide how we're going to take the take Lee Nellis, who is now staff with I think the Boulder Town, basically is staff, and to take the document that you have and that the Table of Uses group have put together, and we'll start working that together, and we would like to start with June 16th as the date to have Lee Nellis come in and start talking about the Table of Uses, and so I wanted to peg, is that correct, that our meeting will see?
Yes, I am. You cut out a little bit, but yes, our meeting with Lee is next Tuesday, the 16th, 7 p.m., same sign-on stuff.
Okay. So,
wait, Colleen, he had a couple, he was going to send out a memo. Lee was going to send out a memo in another couple of days to the Planning Commission. It was related to kind of wrapping up the last things we were talking about, so I'm not sure that he's going to have time to wrap his head around the table of uses between right now and next Tuesday. But certainly it would be useful to introduce that topic to him and have Matt or Josie or someone familiar with it talk him through what your process was or what's in there, I would think. So,
is it something we can do in a regular PC meeting?
Well, this is...
Yeah.
Go ahead.
The thing that we need to decide is how, if we're going to take your information and Lee Nellis's information, how we take that, if you want to, like we'd like to, I would like to see this document updated as quickly as possible, because there's so much information in it, and we're, the conditional use permits that we're giving out really use this document a lot, and so that's another thing that we need to talk about now is if we're just going to keep basis, if that's possible for Lee to come in and talk to us just at the Planning Commission meetings, or if we want to hold a couple of meetings in between so that we can all get together and talk about it. Work meetings, that's another consideration that we need to have each one of you where do you want to go with this?
Well, Wayne, can I, Can I make a suggestion, please?
Sure.
One of the things I was going to talk to Lee about was how he's done a lot of this, you know, reorganizing ordinances, going through like that down in Vermont. He spent 4 decades doing exactly this and teaching this. So now that we have the material from the work group, what I'd like to try, I would encourage Matt and Josie to dial into being on the 16th, because I want to ask Lee, how do you, on the town in Vermont, it's a huge project doing all of this. How did you approach it? How did you organize it? Where did you start? What was the plan? What's the roadmap here to make sure that the general plan, the ordinances, state statute, everything hangs together and it's budget compliant, legally defensible, and this is where the professional planner that the mayor has retained to work at the head of our staff comes in. So, will we need...
And that is Lee Nellis, correct?
That's correct. That's Lee Nellis, yeah. And so now what we need to do is to get everybody on the same Zoom call and then talk to Lee about exactly that. Where do we start? How do we organize this material? I don't know if you'll have a chance to do it all before the 16th, but I'll ask him if he does. But at least he can talk to us about the organizational difficulties of how he sees this proceeding. So what comes out the other end is a really coherent document that does a much needed amending of these table of uses and really makes it a lot more specific, a lot more what the town wants, complying with the general plan, et cetera, et cetera.
My only request is that, you know, I'm not available as much as I'd like to be. And, you know, is this and I'm asking everyone, is this a discussion for the whole planning commission? So is that something that's appropriate to do at one of our regular meetings, or do we have too much other business?
I don't know if I'm going to be the one to ask. So the thing is
there's no other person. It's only administrator, so.
What did you say?
I said there's no other business coming from the zoning administrator at home. Yes, we can do this at the regular meeting, but also on the 16th. If anybody can tune in and we can start into that, maybe
okay.
It will definitely carry forward onto the next planning commission meeting. And I don't think we have a heavy agenda or anything. I don't foresee, from my point, I don't have any applications pending or anything.
I concur. That would be great.
I'll try to see if Lee is available for, so we're not going to cancel Tuesday the 16th, but I'll see if he's available for the next planning commission meeting on July 9th. I think that's the day. Okay.
So what I'd like to hear is if everybody could the next, we have the June 16th meeting, we'll put it back on the agenda for July. We might have another meeting together again after that with Lee Nellis, and then we'll have our August meeting. I would hope that in between these, is everybody willing to continue on with Lee every other, what we're doing right now is it's every other week, every planning commission, or whatever. So Haley, what I'd like to know is if everybody's okay with that, June 16th with Lee Nellis, and then move on to the planning commission again.
I'm for that. This is Cookie Shouse. I am for that. And I'm just wanted to tell Matt, he tries to keep it within an hour. It's just an hour long. Sometimes it goes an hour and 15 minutes, but not very often. So it's like we're looping right through things. It's fast. But I understand you've got a lot of time constraints, so... But I just wanted to put that in. It doesn't go on and on and on, you know.
Yeah, I just can't guarantee that in between times is all I'm saying. So I just, at least, you know, at the PC meeting, I want to catch up on it if I can't make the 16th.
Right. Well, thank you so much for all your hard work. Man, that is just, I was overwhelmed with all that information. It's great, though.
Okay, so can we ask our whole last question now?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm not available on the 16th, and you're also asking us to do something every other week in the busiest time of the year. Some of us work until 9 o'clock at night. We're farming, we're working our regular jobs, we are in fire season. So I totally support doing this during our meetings or wait until after Thanksgiving.
Okay, thank you, Josie, for your comment. Does anyone else have a comment? So we'll continue on with the June 16th meeting. The thing is, too, Matt, is that it's not every other week, it's every 2 weeks. I understand the constraints. We already have this meeting lined up. What we're going to do is move from what we've been talking about with Lee Nellis to right on to the table of uses. So on June 16th, if he does have time, Curtis said he was going to talk to him. We'll go ahead and start talking a little bit on the June 16th and then go ahead and put that on the agenda for the July meeting. Is that okay?
Yep.
I will talk to him and do my best to get him onto that July meeting.
So is that okay? So.
Yeah. Yes.
That meeting would be July 9th.
Yes.
Our next meeting will be July
9th. Right.
So on the agenda, then, Peg, we would have for the RSTR map, so just keep that on the agenda. And we'll also do the table of uses.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
So those
there was one
two items that will
there was pop. Colleen?
Yeah.
There was okay. There was one item yes. And tell me where that stands. I've sort of lost track. It's the recommendation of Lee Nellis was to do an immediate, as close to immediate means. Modification the general plan to identify Lower Boulder Road as a traffic problem. Remember that thing? I think that needs to go on our agenda. I wasn't sure if it went on our agenda or the town council's, but I think it's ours.
That's a sensitive.
Can you
look at
that?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I think he said in order to maybe control further development or whatever down on Lower Boulder Road, I think it was to go into the general plan and amend it into the general plan as a part of that sensitive area.
Yep.
I might be wrong about that, but he said as long as you put things in to something like that, something solid, then if things come up, you can just say, well, you know, this is in a sensitive area, blah, blah, blah.
Now, wait a minute. That is in complete opposite of how we discussed the CUP tonight.
No. Okay, wait, could I clarify, because what he was saying is it starts with a general plan where he said it's not even identified. Lower Boulder Road, there are a couple roads identified as traffic problems in Boulder, like the, whatever it is, cut-through road from Burr Trail to past the school and a couple other ones. But he said Lower Boulder Road isn't included in that list that's in the general plan, and it needs to be added in there to give you a footing for development standards that reference problem roads or traffic circulation or problem roads. So you start.
I agree 100%, but we were told tonight that no, we cannot consider the general plan in the conditional use permit. No, it's only a basis for what?
Colleen, will you call on me?
Here's
what Lee asked us.
So, I don't necessarily agree with that, but Curtis, go ahead.
Okay, what Lee was saying is that in order to redefine a guest ranch, for example, and to have the number of units be more modest rather than open-ended, let's say you want a cap down on Lower Bowman Road, you want a cap down there, the number of units that a guest ranch can apply for. Let's say you want a cap at 5, whereas it would be a different test perhaps up on Highway 12. Where it had direct access on Highway 12. What he's saying is that you don't look to the general plan to determine a conditional use permit. He says you look to the general plan to construct ordinances. And we're in the process of amending the ordinances. When you amend the ordinances, you want to amend it, and it's a road is an impact, access is an impact. So you start with the general plan, then you work out the ordinance. But the ordinance is the law. That's what guides you when you make decisions on a subdivision, on a conditional use permit. And so everything is consistent with what we've been saying. And Lee has this, you know, what I was saying earlier is what Lee brings to the table here is a complete package, starting with the general plan, running down through the ordinances, making sure everything is compatible with state law. So what you come out with on the other side is logical and defensible. More than anything, it's what you want. So then you go through the process, just like you've done in your work group, and you spell it all out for him, and he hashes it back and forth, and he says, okay, we want to cut down the size of guest ranches down on a substandard road. And so that's all he's saying. You start at the general plan level, and then that gives you the justification to amend the ordinances. If you want to restrict the size of anything down there, that's the consistency.
So I was talking in relation to what goes on the agenda next month, and my thought was we hadn't done anything about that suggestion of his, and should we put it on the agenda?
Yes, please do.
Okay.
I do. Yes, I do. So are there any other things that we want to discuss for the upcoming business on July 9th? Okay, so then what we're going to do is move on to any final public comments. And if there are any public comments, please keep them to like 3 minutes or so, like the rest of them have been. Okay, so I see that we have no more public comments. Michelle?
Well, nobody's raised their hand.
Okay. So, would anyone like to make a motion that we... I will make a motion that we close the meeting, our June meeting of Planning Commission.
I'd like to second that. This is Cookie.
Matt? And then Matt either seconded it. Okay, Matt, did you second it?
I seconded it, muted, okay. Of course. Yeah.
So we both have both of you voting. So we have a motion, a second, Cookie voted. I will vote that we close.
Cochran, aye.
Okay. Corey Thompson, aye. Dorsey, you got
okay. This is South, aye.
Are you there, Haley? So all in favor, so the meeting is over, right?
Thank you, Colleen.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you all, the Planning Commission, all the input that we've had. It's hard sometimes, and I really appreciate everybody, you know, stating their opinion, you know, what they have to say. Oh, there's Haley. Everything, I think it was a good meeting. Thank you, everyone.
Is there? Yeah, sorry, my computer's a little guy and I cannot get it.
you okay with adjourning the meeting?
I can make the 16th, and I'll be at the planning commission meeting on the 9th.
Right. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much. Okay. Yeah, because I noticed you were gone. So thank you for saying that. So
yeah.
Okay. All right.
Bye.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Ms. Shayla, do you want to... Ms. Shayla, are you still there? Okay. Can you hang on a second with me?
Absolutely.
Okay. Thanks.
Toodaloo.
Toodaloo. See you, everybody. I think Sina and Ishmael want to leave. Okay. Okay. My cat's left.
Your cat's left?
My cat's, yeah. My cat's screen left. I believe I got everyone recorded properly.
Okay.
Can I just run through the list of names that I have down?
Yeah.
Okay. So, in attendance, Stephen Cheryl Cox, you, Patrice Arad and Dave Mock, Andy and Andrea Rice, Denise Pennington and Ray Nelson, Elizabeth Julian, Dave and Suzanne Conine, John Andrews, Tessa Barkin, Tom and Caroline Hoyt, Jill Trombley, Ashley Coombs, Scott Aho, Kip Green, Bryn Brody, Sergio Femenias, you may not have known he was there.
I didn't know he was there.
And Tina Carlson.
I have Marion.
Oh,
and
right, Marion Johnson. Do I have Jennifer? I don't have Jennifer down, right?
Jennifer Gillings.
Okay.
Jackie Smalley.
Jackie, yes. Okay.
Judy Drain.
Oh, that's the Judy. Okay, I couldn't tell which Judy.
Yeah, she's our TC member that is the PC person.
Yeah.
Josie, Curtis, Cookie, Matt, Haley, Colleen, and you.
Yep. Okay.
That's all I had.
Okay, got it.
Oh, did you get Anson Fogle?
Let's see. No. Thank you.
He was the last one to join.
Yeah.
Okay, and I think that's it.
Okay. Thanks.
Yep.
That was a lot. Okay, good deal. Thank you so much for your help. That was awesome.
Yeah, you're welcome. It's definitely nice to have somebody that can admit people to the waiting room and pay attention to the public comments. It makes it way more exciting with the public hearing.
Yes, it does. And the chat, I wasn't paying a lot of attention to the chat, but I guess you were. Was there any...
I had a few chats, but it was mostly the stuff that I brought up.
Okay.
I had somebody suggest that maybe we just state how many letters were in favor and how many were opposed, but I don't know if I came across clear enough.
Oh.
I think Curtis got it because he reiterated that, and that's why he stated it.
Okay.
I wasn't asking that we read them all. I was just saying maybe we just say how many were in favor.
Yeah.
And they were opposed. So he made that clear. But that was it. And then I had a few people I had somebody jump on and say, you need a second, but you caught it before I even had a chance to say anything. So that was it.
Okay. Good deal. Thank you. Okay, have a good...
Absolutely.
Have a good evening.
And I realized I missed the thing this afternoon.
Oh, I found out where the recordings are. I found out where the recordings are.
Because
I couldn't find them, and I find they're on the. I'll send the links because it's YouTube on the Utah League of Cities and Towns website. So I think it's under ULCT videos or something like that. But it's kind of not the place I would have thought to go. I couldn't find them before, but I will send links to the last month, to the last week, and then they said they'd have this one up today.
I was in last week's, but I realized at about 5:30 tonight that I had missed it. So.
Well, I realized at about 12:30, so I missed half of it. But It was still useful. It was good. Guess what? They were talking about general plan and zoning ordinances.
I know, and this was the one I wanted to attend.
Yeah.
I saw the topic, so I will watch the recording. That'll be helpful.
Yeah, I wish everyone in the Planning Commission would watch the recording.
I know.
I mean, it's only an hour. It's like the quickest little shot of stuff they need to know without traveling anywhere, and it's, you know, it is at noontime, which isn't great for Haley, but like it's built around office workers that are sitting there at lunchtime, you know, so I don't know.
I thought of that.
Anyway.
Well, and I was thinking about tonight, and like, well, Josie probably already has that information, because that's partially with her work and stuff, so I don't know, but you're right, for the new Planning Commission members, that would be especially helpful, and for me, yeah, so I will watch the recording.
Okay.
Or listen to it, whatever.
If I don't send, I probably won't send it tonight, because I think I'm going to not do anything more, but probably tomorrow. I'll send you the link.
That's great. I won't be able to get to it till next week anyway.
Okay, thanks again.
Thanks for your help, and P.S., thank you for that parcel.
Oh, good.
That was a big help. It was a lot slower going, because I'm looking at our map, trying to compare it with, so being able to plug in the parcel number, look on the parcel number map, and then coordinate it with the other one really is a huge time saver. That cut a bunch of time off for me.
Good. Well, I'm glad.
Gosh.
All right.
Thank you. All right.
My timely entrance, yes. We'll see you.
Okay,
bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Just go back.
Bye. No, that's Michela.
Oh, Michela.
Yeah.
Oh.
2 hours and 16.